For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all our listeners and their families a wonderful new year. And certainly we want to wish everyone to be prosperous in the Lord's service that is accountable, of course. You know, 2021 is just about gone, and it reminds us of just how quickly time passes. I'm reminded of the words in the beautiful hymn, "Hold to God's Unchanging Hand." Notice these words: "Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand." That's right. And since life is as a vapor in swift transition, let us answer some important questions concerning time on this Lord's Day. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And that's what we all need to be doing. Yes, sir. Now, we want to take this opportunity to cordially invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying God's precious word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God, we strive to do so with the proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus fulfilling John 4:24, to worship God in spirit and in truth. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to opportunities to have Bible studies. If you're interested in having a Bible study, by all means, please get in touch with us. Your questions, Bible questions, are appreciated, as well as your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. Or our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. Our times of services are listed at the end of the program. Let me give you our website address. It's www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. We're going to ask ourselves this vitally important question: am I redeeming the time that I have in this life? So we'll start with question number one. Have I put off till tomorrow what I should do today? You know, sometimes we husbands will say to our wives, "I'll get around to it." Well, she ought to get one of those wooden coins that says "round to it," T-U-I-T, and thus encourage us to get around to it. And that is that honey-do job that we should have done. Well, the point here is we're not guaranteed a tomorrow, as our life can end suddenly, or Christ may return today, this very hour. He may not return for another 1,000 years, but we just don't know. The point is, we don't want to boast ourselves of what we're going to do tomorrow. As Proverbs 27:1 reveals to us, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And James 4, this is our text, verses 13 and 14, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Those are big plans, aren't they? But notice, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's gone. Just like that. So we must not follow the example of Felix upon hearing the truth. What did he do? He put off responding to the gospel of Christ. Notice with me now Acts 24, verses 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, that would be self-control, and notice, and the judgment to come, what did Felix do? He trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Why did Felix tremble? Well, because he was living in sin, for one thing, and was unprepared to face the judgment. Most importantly, he was not prepared to face God because of his sins. So that's a reason to tremble, isn't it? We do not read of the convenient season ever coming for Felix, do we? I don't see that in God's word. Now, this is again the question we're asking. Have I put off till tomorrow what I should do today? When it comes to obeying the gospel, that's not something to put off. Of course not. But notice now with me question number two. What will I do with the life which God has given me? That's an important question, is it not? Well, of course it is. You know, in the scriptures, we can have the answers to life's most important questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Is one of those questions, isn't it? Where did I come from? What is my origin? Of course, is one of them as well. And where am I going? My eternal destiny. That's the third question. But we're looking here at, again, one of life's most important questions. Why am I here? And another way of putting that is, what is my purpose? Well, the answer is very clear in God's word, as all three of those questions. Yes, of course they're answered in God's word. And so, why am I here? I'm here to serve God. That's my purpose. And that's your purpose too, is it not? Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Solomon said by inspiration, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." We're to respect God and keep his commandments. This is our whole duty. This is our whole duty. That's our purpose in life. Serve God. And we do that by obeying the gospel of Christ and living by it, even unto death. Revelation 2:10. We're promised a crown of life. Notice with me now Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Now that was under the law of Moses, wasn't it? But you know, Jesus, in answering the question, what is the greatest commandment? It's to what? To love the Lord thy God. That's right. Not with half a heart, but with all thy heart, soul, and mind, with all thy strength. So this is what we need to do under the law of Christ as well. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Hebrews 12:28. So what will I do with the life which God has given me? Am I going to utilize the opportunities of serving God faithfully, no matter what happens, by obeying the gospel and having my sins washed away and then continuing in the faith, even unto death, as we said before? We're promised that crown of life by the Lord himself, Revelation 2:10. Well, man is to obey and to worship God, is he not? Yes, of course he is. In Psalm 95, 6 through 8, O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Don't harden our hearts. And Paul quoted Psalm 95, the latter part of verse 7 and verse 8, there in Hebrews 3, 7 and 8. So that's under the law of Christ, isn't it? So yes, we're to worship God. We're to obey God. And why do so many people just not pay any attention to the Word of God as if they're not accountable? It's sad. Well, they're deceived. We don't want to be deceived by our adversary, the devil, Satan. Yes, he wants to take us away from the truth, get our minds occupied on everything but the truth. And thus, we're not doing with our life what God would have us to do with it. And again, answering the question, what will I do with the life which God has given me? Am I going to just squander it? The time that I have in this life is precious. We need to see that. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, we used in the opening of the program. Yes. This is what we are doing here at Morgan Street every Lord's Day, striving to worship God with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. In Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We must obey Christ and his teaching, his doctrine, submitting ourselves to the will of God. If we're not doing that, why not? What's more important with our time, with our lives, than doing the will of God? There is nothing else that can be put in that answer, except, of course, we need to do the will of God. That's the most important thing with our very being, to serve God faithfully. But after obeying the gospel, we have to do that first. So we have to be willing to humble ourselves and receive the truth and turn away from a sinful life. But let's go on and answer question number 3. Am I redeeming the time? Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, that's dead in one's sins, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectively, that is, analyze ourselves from every angle. Take a good look, not as fools, but as wise. Now notice verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we're asking the question, am I redeeming the time? You know, we're coming up on, yes, if the Lord tarries in his coming, New Year's Eve, and how many people are going to be drinking and partying and doing ungodly participating in ungodly behavior. Well, notice verse 18, since we're here in Ephesians 5. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We don't want to allow ourselves even to be in the process of getting drunk. We don't want to be one drink drunk. It's a process. And we need to stay away from alcoholic beverages. It's condemned in the Word of God. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. He that is deceived thereby is unwise. We don't want to be unwise, do we? And so we stay away from this terrible situation that so many people are going to be in, sad to say. Well, notice this is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So time began right then. It wasn't before that. There was no such thing as time. It began when God created the heavens and the earth. And that is the beginning. You see that. We all should see that. And time will end when Christ comes again to judge the world. Let's go to 2 Peter 3, 9 through 11. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, that's not climate change. That's not global warming or what other terms they want to use. This is God's doing, not man's. And be sure that this is not going to happen until God causes it to happen. That's what we need to stay with, the Word of God. But the point here is, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That's verse 11, isn't it? So we ought to be what God would have us to be, of course, in holy conversation and living in godliness in our everyday life. Now we need to mention this. Excuse me. Many have tried to predict the second coming, and all have failed. And the reason they fail is because they do not know the Scriptures. They err in not knowing the Word of God. We do not know when Christ will come again. Some think it's going to be soon. It could be, but it may not. We just don't know. Matthew 24, 35 through 37. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man." Now that's when the heaven and earth is going to pass away. "And of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Note that. And let's stay with that. My Father only knows when that will be. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." What were the people doing when the flood started in the days of Noah? Well, Noah and his family were prepared by being on the ark, but the rest of the world, they were not. Yes, but they no doubt were wanting to get in that ark as the waters kept getting higher and higher. I would imagine there's claw marks on that door of the ark if it was to be found. But let's go on and note, again, we're asking the question, am I redeeming the time? That's the question we all need to answer, because the days are evil. So how much time does Bob Hawkins have left to live in this life? Well, I do not know. If I knew today that it was my last day on earth, what would I be doing? Well, you need to ask yourself the same question. What would you be doing? Well, I can tell you, I would want to be preparing for eternity. But I need to be doing that now, whether today's my last day or not. And so do you. I should be prepared to die right now. And again, so should you. What are we doing about that situation? Preparing for eternity is a good title for the program, because that's what we all should be doing. What we can know is whether or not we are living in accordance to the will of God. That's something we can know. We don't know when the Lord will come again, but we can know whether or not we're living in accordance to the will of God. We may not know when we're going to die. Now, some people know they're close to it by the illness they may have and things like that. But generally speaking, we're not knowing the day we're going to die, certainly not the moment. Necessarily, that's usually the case. So, 1 John 2:3-5, let's go there. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know we... Now again, notice this. Hereby know we that we are in him. So we can know if we're keeping his commandments. That's the point. Are we in Christ? Not unless we're obeying his commands. What are we doing with the time which we have? We become owners of the things which we buy. Many people are, you know, still buying and so forth. After Christmas, there's all these sales. And so people want to take advantage of that. Well, in the spiritual sense, redeeming the time. What does that mean? It means that we're buying up opportunities in our service to God with the time we own or that we have left. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Again, we repeat that. Ephesians 5:16. As we're asking that question, am I redeeming the time? Well, we're all familiar, I hope, with Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So redeeming time, again, we're buying up opportunities in our service to God. We need to use our time wisely, as Colossians 4:5 tells us. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And since time is a valuable possession which we own, let us be determined to use it to the glory of God. And let us all examine ourselves. And again, answer honestly, am I redeeming the time that I have? And how much do I have left? I don't know. But I want to be buying up opportunities with what I have left. What about you? What kind of service, or I'm sorry, what kind of servant will I be in the Lord's church in the year 2022? Well, I need to be a good servant now, but as we come into the new year, let's be determined to be the kind of servant the Lord would have us. There's four commands which begin with the letters T-I-M-E, spelling time. And when we obey these commands, we'll ensure that our time in this life is being redeemed to God's glory. Number one, T, trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Number 2, the letter I. Increase in knowledge of God's word. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The letter M, number 3. Make the most of our opportunities. As we said in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Number 4, the letter E. Exercise love in action. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the Lord speaking. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. So, as we begin the new year, if the Lord tarries in his coming, 2022, let us buy opportunities, that is, redeem the time to serve God. We'll be blessed in doing so. Now, we want to extend the Lord's invitation. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. We've got to hear the truth. This is how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior who went to the cross to die for our sins. Yes, our Lord and Savior did that for us. And once we believe, John 8:24, we're ready to repent, making a change of wills and ready to do the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. We're going to turn our life around and go in a new direction, in the right direction, as we stay with the Word of God. Now, having repented of our sins, going in a new direction, having changed our will, we're ready to make the good confession. Matthew 10:32-33. Romans 10:9-10. This is unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having done that, now we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave. That is, we're baptized into Christ. We're putting on Christ, Galatians 3:27. We're dying to sin. Thus, we're buried into the death of Christ as he shed his blood in his death. John 19:32-34. Yes. Jesus shed his blood in his death, and as we are buried with him into the watery grave of baptism, we're contacting his precious blood. Study Romans 6:3-6. And as we come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life, the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, the church of Christ. Here's where we need to remain faithful, even if it means dying. We'll have the victory. Revelation 2:10. Thank you so much for listening today.